That's Mark D. Deal, DIEHL.com. And it looks like now we have Mark with us. Mark, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Ryan. I could hear you the first time, but you couldn't hear me. Are we connecting now?
We're connecting now. I can hear you loud and clear, so we are all right. Good to go. Okay, well, hey, thank you so much for taking the time out of your night. I know it's already pushing midnight out there in Maine. Welcome to the show, Mark. How are you tonight?
Oh, thank you for having me, Ryan. This is great. I'm down here by the wood stove. You know, we still heat the house with wood out here in Maine, so this is fine for me. I can keep on feeding it.
Outstanding, outstanding. Well, I actually am heating the house with a wood stove all the way out in Washington, so
all
a
right.
Small world there. We'll get right down to it here, Mark. I know we've talked, but before we went live here tonight, just about your book, and it's just a very exciting book to me. Now, just so everyone listening here, so we're all on the same page, you say that based on Darwinian selection, the people most likely to survive and successfully pass on their DNA to the next generation are the most corporate. Can you elaborate on that a little bit for the listening audience tonight?
Sure. So if you look back at human history or natural history in general, you know, it was always the strongest, the smartest, whatever it was some individual characteristic that made you survive over, you know, the other members of your group. So what happens now is because all of our resources, you know, and I'm not just talking oil, you know, it's everything. It's water, it's food, it's farmland. It's all being concentrated within these giant corporations now. And that means you have to have something to give those corporations to get what you need to survive. So to survive in a world that is totally controlled by multinational corporations, the only thing you have to give them is your total servitude. So corporate entities are becoming like beehives used to. You know,
right.
At one time, bees and ants were more individualistic than they are now. They became collectivized. They became a super organism where the hive becomes more important than the individual. And that was the way the bee survives. That's the way the ant survives. Because this corporate power is so concentrated now, that's what's happening. You must be totally subservient to your corporation, or you'll be booted out. And once you're booted out, there's no secondary economy. There's no, I'm going to start my own business anymore. You might be able to franchise if they approve of you, but you're not going to go out and be part of small town America anymore. That doesn't exist. It's all concentrated.
Right. And it sounds like you're already kind of touching on some of the things that are happening today that are literally turning our society into a glorified anthill. Are there some other issues out there that you see happening right now that are literally turning our civilization into this glorified anthill, if you will?
Right. I think that is exactly what is happening. And I got this idea when I was living in Asia. And when I was there, I saw that, you know, it's pretty common knowledge. Asian society tends to be much stricter and much more hierarchical than American society. And what I noticed when I was there was it's not an accident. That's not just a random chance that they developed that kind of a society. Those countries had higher populations and more depleted resources a much longer time ago. So we always think of Asia as being behind us because we had the Industrial Revolution, we being a Western society, you know, starting in Europe. We have the Industrial Revolution. We learn how to get resources out of the ground and turn them into stuff.
Right.
And that makes our economy take off faster than the traditional Asian economy. But at the same time, they had learned to have more people crammed into a small space with less stuff to go around. And so because of that, they developed this very hierarchical system where everybody knew their place and everybody had to do what they're told. So that's what's happening here as resources get depleted. We're organizing in the same way. But now, instead of just being a warlord or a shogun, you have these multinational corporations whose influence spans the globe. And that's the entity to which you must surrender now.
Very interesting. Mark, have we always been in the process of evolving into this corporate species?
I think there was a fork in the road. There was a turning point, and it was a military one. At one point, somebody, and you know, you might say it was ancient Rome, you might say it was ancient Japan, you might say, no, it was way back in the hunter-gatherer days when somebody learned that you could get this structure of a tribe and take over the tribe nearest to you. But at some point, we learned that having this top-down hierarchy and this automatic obedience made you more efficient than your neighbor. And so by having members of the group surrender to the group completely, and the more completely they surrender, the more effective that army is. So I think that is where, when we started to say, we as a group, whatever that first group was, are going to reward people for blind obedience, that was when we took a turn toward this, and this is now the final. We started off with military structures. You know, right. Every military in the world became a top-down hierarchy. Everybody, right. You know, go up that hill and kill everybody there. Yes, sir. That was
Mark,
efficient way to do that. Well, now that's happening to business.
Mark, stay with me. Stay with me right there, my friend. We got to take a very quick break, folks. We are just getting started here with my guest, Mark Diehl. It's going to be a heck of a show. This is The Sound of Freedom, Republic Broadcasting. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. You are listening to The Sound of Freedom live here Saturday night, January 4th, 2014. I'm your host, Ryan Brooks. Thanks for staying up late with me, folks. Our guest, he's also staying up late with us here, Mark Diehl. His website, armyofthedoomed.com. That's armyofthedoomed.com. You can read up about his latest book, 17 Book 1, and get some good information about Mark there, armyofthedoomed.com. So we'll bring Mark back in here. We were just kind of talking about some of the ideas and the concepts that he explores in this book, 17, and this rise of the corporate species of man. Very interesting stuff. So, Mark, I know in the last segment you mentioned with the comparisons of bees and ants, kind of we're on our way to becoming more of a hive-like collective, if you will, and you mentioned that bees and ants weren't necessarily so structured and such a collective. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that, the history of the evolution, I suppose, of maybe the ants or the bees to a time when they were more individualized, I guess?
Well, let's see. I don't know that I know that much about the ancient origins of ants and bees. But, you know, that is something that we do know, is that at one time there were these ants and these bees that were more like, you know, we think of today maybe are beetles or something like that, where they exist in a more individual kind of structure. They don't have that hive, that collective in the same
right.
way. And so they get to think more for themselves. But then again, you know, step on that anthill, kick that hive, throw a rock at a beehive. What happens? You know, you have this massive mobilization of all of these creatures coming at you. And, you know, that's why I call the,
right.
the website Army of the Doomed. You know, when I was in the big law firm in Chicago, it was very structured. I think there were 20 levels of partner. You know, 700 lawyers and, you know, this kind of thing. And it was that same idea. It was that, you know, every motion that you have, every part of your life is controlled. It wasn't just you work long hours. It was that you work long hours doing exactly what you're supposed to do all the time. And I'm not especially good at doing what I'm told. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, gee, these guys are, and I'm not. And, you know, we've all had some of that experience. It doesn't, you don't have to be the smartest guy in the place. You don't have to be even the hardest worker necessarily. You have to be the most obedient. And those are the guys getting ahead. It's not the guy with the best idea in the firm. It's not the guy who comes up with the new concept. We like to kid ourselves that that's the case, but we've all seen how it works. It's the brown noser who gets ahead. It's the guy who does all that he's supposed to do. And I thought, well, I'm not that guy. All of us individuals who like to think for ourselves and who like to try and come up with a new way to do things or a better way to do things, we're not actually rising to the top the way we like to think of ourselves. We're actually getting pushed out of the organization because those above us don't want to put up with that. So we are the army that isn't. We're the villagers who look up one day and all of a sudden there's this giant, modern, mechanized army on the horizon. And so we grab our pitchforks and rakes and shotguns or whatever, and we're going to go fight. And we are the army of the doomed. We're the ones who are those individuals. We're that beetle getting swarmed over by the ants.
Right. Mark, do you think that your experience traveling the world has given you a healthy perspective to what our society has become?
I think so. I found myself homeless in Japan. I was chased out of South Korea by my wife's powerful family and the cops. I was stranded in Hong Kong. I've lived in a lot of places where these kinds of structures, and I've butted heads not just with other cultures, but with governments in these places as well. Where, you know, for example, somebody in a third world country can control the police. You know, they have more influence over those things. And I got to see things from a different perspective. So I think that really did help to bring this into focus, and it became kind of an obsession. And when I came back, I went to law school and I worked in the law firm, and I could see, oh, that's not just over there. It's happening here. It's just we're catching up with them. We were ahead of them economically for a long time, but culturally, the key is being ahead doesn't necessarily mean it's somewhere you want to go. And they are ahead of us culturally because they're more in tune with doing what you're told and being part of this bigger group and doing things that the group demands be done.
What do you see the role of nations being for this new corporate species?
I think that there are different levels that are going to happen with the new structure. And I think that governments are becoming more and more beholden to these corporations. Another important thing to remember is when I say big business, when I say multinational corporation, I'm not just talking about a big, successful capitalist institution like Ayn Rand thought when she wrote her brilliant works. She saw it as government is taking over and we need to be careful of government because it's such a huge dehumanizing force in the world. And she was absolutely right. But she said, well, our answer to that is our big business. That's our champion to fight against these giant government structures that are taking over other parts of the world. And at the time, I think that was probably true. But now we look at it and we say, oh, wait, that government monster is still there. But it turns out our big businesses are holding the reins. You know, that the government is not of and by the people. It is owned by these big businesses to an increasing extent.
Right. And I definitely feel that it's if someone takes the time and looks at these big corporations, I mean, now the last time I checked, I think it was 6 corporations own all of the media, the television, the magazines, the movies, the music. I mean, and that's just with the media division. I mean, the big corporations that own the food, the manufacturing, all of these things. It is jaw-dropping when you find out it's only just really a few big businesses, corporations, Very interesting stuff there, Mark. I'm looking at the clock here. We got about a minute and a half before we go into a break, and I kind of want to explore this with you here. Is there any way that we might be able to step outside of this evolution process and become something better than semi-intelligent ants?
I mean, give me a minute for that, Ryan.
All right. I figured that really wasn't fair. How about this one, Mark? How about this one? That's a little teaser for everybody for the next segment. For the next 30 seconds to a minute or so, what can we see more of with the rise of the corporate human, the rise of the corporate species? Give us more of a detailed look. What does that look like?
That looks like bureaucracy. You know, the corporate world is not really all that different when you get to that level of concentration of power and those numbers of people. It's just like big government. And life inside is just as dull and just as controlled and just as unsatisfying as life in the government institution.
All right. Well, hey, Mark, sit with me right there. We've got to take a very quick break, folks. You're listening to The Sound of Freedom with my guest, Mark Diehl. This is the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. You are listening to The Sound of Freedom here at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Ryan Brooks. Our guest joining us tonight, Mr. Mark Diehl. His new book, 17, Book 1. You can read more about that at his website, armyofthedoomed.com. That's armyofthedoomed.com. And we gave you a little teaser in that last segment about what I feel is probably the most important thing about what we can do about the rise of this corporate species. If you're listening to the last segment, you got a little teaser. We're going to jump into that more here during this next segment. We should have Mark for the next two segments, and I want to let all of you know that we really like to hear from the audience. So if you folks want to get involved, if you have questions or comments for Mark or to add to the discussion, you can send me an email at thesoundoffreedom@hushmail.com, and you can call in live to the program at 800-313-9443. We'll get those phone lines open, 800-313-9443. And with that, we'll get back to our guest, Mark Diehl. Mark, let's, now that we have some time to really try to get into this here, what kind of ways are out there? What ways do we have available to us to step outside of this process, this rise of the corporate man? What can we do to step outside of this process and become something better than a semi-intelligent bug?
Well, I think that the number one thing is that we need to understand that this is happening. And that's really why I wrote the book in the first place. And I should say, you know, this is, it's in the tradition of George Orwell or Ayn Rand. It's fiction. It's a science fiction action adventure book. It's set in the future. There are 17 billion people in the world, but most of them are unconscious. They're hooked into these machines serving their corporations. And it's set up in a fiction story because that's a lot easier to read than the dry political analysis, economic analysis kind of stuff. So I think, you know, I would say the very first thing is everybody should read my book, 17, Book 1 by Mark D. Diehl. Beyond that, we need to understand that corporations are not going to go away. This is going to take place. The difference is not going to be, will we have a world without these giant, monstrous institutions? There's no way that you're going to get rid of them. However, we can do some things. We can protect local small business. We can take steps to guarantee that we still maintain the tradition that we've had in America of respecting the individual, of treasuring uniqueness in a person. Right. I think that if we can establish that as something that is a core value to us as a society, I think we have a better chance of preserving something outside the corporations. So right. I think that's a key factor in the whole thing, is just cementing our respect for the individual that Americans are known all over the world for having.
And I feel that that's just another reason why a book like yours, at this time especially, is so important, because you know it better than most, and I'm sure the audience is in agreement with me when I say that, you know, we're really up against this collectivist thought. This we see it on the television. We're being taught it in public schools. The corporations are based on it. Military careers, you know, it's all just collectivism. So I feel it's very important when we have books, television shows, if there's any decent ones out there, movies, music, any type of culture that we can provide to show other people out there about all of the benefits that come with freedom, individualism, and the dangers we run as far as going towards this collectivist sense of being, if you will. Very interesting stuff here. I want to give out that number one more time in case folks missed it. 800-313-9443. If you've got questions or comments for our guest, Mr. Mark Diehl. Mark, let me throw a George Orwell quote at you and get your take on this. It's one of my favorites. Until they become conscious, they will never rebel. And until after they have rebelled, they cannot become conscious. What do you think when you hear a quote like that? And can you apply it to maybe where we are today?
Yes, absolutely. That is a great one. It's one of my favorite Orwell quotes as well. My take on it is that we need to start looking at things in a different way. And obviously, there are lots of ways to do it. I wrote a book. You're on Republic. You know, there are voices out there where, you know, we can connect with other human beings that it isn't just through those six companies controlling the mass media. So, there are ways that we can still have individuals talking like you and I are doing now all over the world. And the Internet is a great way to do that. Republic Radio, great way to do that. I think that also we need to understand that the definitions of things and really the whole picture of the world that we get has been skewed for so long by so few forces that we all need to really understand that what we see in the world may not really be the case. And one of my favorite examples is I don't think the world is really divided between the left wing and the right wing. I think the world is divided between people who are awake and trying to figure stuff out and sort through all of this stuff that's been clouding our understanding of the world for so long, and people who have just given up trying to understand, or, you know, we would call them the sleepers or the sheeple or whatever. That's right. The real division. And so our tendency when we don't realize that is to say, this person sees something different about the state of the world right now than I do. That person's on the left. That person's on the right. They're my enemy. Well, actually, they're awake. They're trying to figure it out. They might not have the same pieces that you do, but they're trying to figure it out. It's really all of us, and we have to fight it out between us. We have to sort all this out because it's all been clouded. It's all been hazy for so long that we all have to understand that maybe we don't have all the answers, and we need to get it from other people like us. And that's why we listen to the radio. That's why we read books. We reach out through the Internet because we're trying to get all those pieces. And if we let them divide us in those old-fashioned ways, I think then it doesn't turn into the awakened and the asleep. It turns into the sleeping and the people who are fighting with each other or shutting each other out or trying to shout each other down. So I think an open dialogue among those who are awake is the number one thing that we need the most in this society if we're going to save individualism at all.
And as the old saying goes, they keep us divided so we can be conquered, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Now, Mark, let me throw this at you here. Do you see any similarities or maybe the involvement of one party or the other as far as the rise of the corporation in conjunction with the rise of the psychopath in the United States? Do you think that those are related at all?
You know, actually, that is a really interesting idea. If you look at the, well, now there's a DSM-5, but you look at the DSM-4 definition of psychopathy, you know, you can go down this list of traits, and they're all, you know, putting their own gain before others and,
right.
Help me out, Ryan. I know you, that's on your next part of your agenda.
Right. Well, just as far as from my experience being in the military, they would encourage some of the psychopathic behavior. And I see the same thing in corporate, in the corporate world as well, as far as some of the telltale signs of a psychopath, like callous, not having the empathy. You see that running rampant in the military and also in the business world. The failure to accept responsibility. I see that around the nation, no matter what kind of job or business you're looking into, we have that as a major problem. The manipulative nature of psychopaths, the lack of remorse or guilt, those are all things where if you can really harness those and I don't know, you have those tendencies, you're going to go well, far in the military. Do you see the same thing in the corporate state?
And take it a step further. Look beyond those individuals in those organizations. Look at the organization itself. You know, military, actually, you know, if you've got it protecting your country against somebody else's psychopath, you want that military to behave in sort of a psychotic way. Go kill everybody right in front of you because you're trying to keep them from reaching the wife and kids back home.
Right, great point, Mark. Sit with me here. Sit tight. We have to take one more break, folks. We've got a great guest on the line, Mark Diehl, armyofthedoomed.com. We've got one more segment with him, so stay tuned. This is The Sound of Freedom on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. You're listening to The Sound of Freedom live here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Ryan Brooks. Our guest, Mr. Mark Diehl, armyofthedoomed.com. His newest book, 17, book one. I highly recommend it, folks. It is one heck of a book, thought-provoking. You are really going to like it. Armyofthedoomed.com is the website to learn how you can buy the book. The call-in number here, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. We'll have Mr. Diehl here for the remainder of the hour. Now, we're kind of talking about the rise of the psychopath versus the rise of the corporate state or the corporate species of man, if you will. And I'm looking over here at the inbox at thesoundoffreedomandhushmail.com. And we got an email from Sean. Sean says, Mark, what involvement do you see the rise of technology having with the rise of the corporate human? What do you think?
Ooh, great question. Let me just, before I get to that, Sean, let me get back to the question that we had before the break, which was the psychopath in the future, in the corporate world. As I said,
sure.
the individuals are encouraged to be psychotic, and the organization as a whole becomes psychotic, and that is also true. Those same characteristics that we cut each other out and things, that happens in that giant institution with all of that power. So actually the corporation itself, if you apply those definitional terms, what makes a psychopath? They are the big corporations. They are behaving exactly the same way as an institution that a psychopath would. And I think that's
right.
A really important thing because they are running the world. And so our
Absolutely.
Entire world is being run by psychopaths.
And that's a great point, Mark. I don't want to give away too much for hour two, but just looking at the behavior patterns or some of the behavioral traits that a psychopath has, And the corporation literally has all of them with
right.
the being able to be manipulative, not having remorse or guilt, the lack of empathy that's so important in the business world and the world of competition, I suppose. It's very incredible to see how the corporation literally is a collective psychopath. Very interesting.
Exactly.
Very interesting.
Okay,
and I know,
let's try to tackle
the technology.
Right, the role of technology. I think that in the book, I split the difference between a sort of a natural evolution and a manipulated evolution. There's a class of people who are the corporate class, and they have actually been genetically tweaked for corporate compliance. They're easier to get along with inside the organization. They work harder. They're more resistant to disease, you know, these kinds of things. They've actually been molded to fit within that. And, in fact, there's a level beyond which you cannot advance in the corporation unless you have become one of these people. And they've basically become a new race of people. Also, in the book, I wrote it so that most of the 17 billion people in the world are not conscious. They're connected by wires in these big brain banks. They are literally the computer bank of these giant institutions. And people say, oh, well, you know, that might not happen. You can't have that. But that's, you know, is that really that different than having a cell phone to your head 24/7? You know, now we're getting texts, we're getting email, we're getting all of these work-related communications constantly, 24 hours a day. All the time we're working, we're plugged in. So I think the natural state is becoming one where we're constantly at work.
And you throw in the rise of all the social media with these, you know, technology, with the smartphones, the iPads, the iTouches, the Kindles, and all these different things, the social media, the instant gratification, and it literally does put us in this mode where we have a large group of people that are always plugged in or tuned in, if you will, to the World Wide Web, to these social media programs, emails or whatever or what have you. Mark, what do you think about ways for us as individuals, listeners right now, you and I mean, I think we can see this in so many different ways, the rise of kind of the corporate species of man. For individuals, what do you think about you know, I'm a big advocate of empowering ourselves and walking away from things that don't resonate with us. When we tie in the rise of the corporate species of man with technology, what should we as individuals be doing or what do you think we should be wary of ourselves as far as technology in the coming days?
I think actually that's an interesting question. And I've thought about it like this, you know, this pattern of concentrating power, you know, you see it throughout nature and things. It's happened before. It happened when individual cells got together and formed multicellular organisms, you know, and if you think about it, that was the technology, you know, the ability to link these cells together the same way that now we have these devices linking us together. And so you have a multicellular organism, and then you have these individuals. And what are these individuals in the microbiology world? Well, they're parasites. They're parasites to the big organism that is those multicells. That, you know, the individual is something like an amoeba. The corporate would be something like a cheek cell, a liver cell, a nerve cell. So they're highly specialized, and they're part of this giant organism, and they can't survive on their own. So individuality becomes parasitism. And people say, well, okay, well, what does that mean if we're all corporate? If the new entity, the new body becomes the corporation or the government, what does that make the individual then? Well, it makes the individual a parasite. And what is that parasite? Well, crime is parasitic. So if we have a world where all the resources are legally owned by corporations, what's left to the individual? Well, we'll have to be criminals. That's how we survive as an individual, is we're outside of that body. We're fighting for our survival. And then you start to see, okay, well, so the corporation, the government, they have their structures to defend against that. They have an immune system. And that's your police. That's your military.
Right. And I find it interesting, Mark. I'm thinking back last Sunday, covered a piece about Aldous Huxley, Brave New World Revisited, a piece he did in the late 1950s. And he talked about in the future, it literally will be possible to have a majority of people who will be living in abnormal circumstances, but because all of it will be created through social engineering, medicine, or what have you, the majority of people will be living in abnormal circumstances or be living abnormal lifestyles, but because the majority of people are living that way, it will then be deemed normal. So what he was predicting is that we will literally have a major or a large percentage of people living an abnormal life, but because so many of them do that, that is now the new normal. Do you see any similarities with the predictions of Huxley and with the direction you're going with your book, 17?
Oh, sure. And I think we see that now. You know, it is not a normal life to sit in front of a computer screen for, you know, 20 hours a day like people are doing now. It's not a normal, natural way to live, to eat genetically engineered food or food-like products that come out of these packages that most of it is not, you know, that our grandparents wouldn't recognize as food. You know, so I think that's already happening. And in 17, I have the food is totally synthesized because they've made plants illegal. Because you can't, if it's a natural plant, you can't patent it. But if you genetically engineer it, you can patent it. What's the difference? Well, if it's a patented product, a company can make money off of it without actually providing it to you. They don't just own the right to distribute to you this product. They own your right to consume it. So if everything in the future has to be synthesized by bacteria or by genetically modified organisms, all natural plants have to be illegal. And there's your force behind owning the government. These corporations can push that through.
Well, it's an incredible story. 17, folks. Mark Diehl, armyofthedoomed.com. That's armyofthedoomed.com. Mark, thank you so much for taking time out of your night, and keep warm out there. Folks, we have to take the top of the hour break, but we're going to be back with hour number two after...